Good morning. I want to welcome you to our chapel worship service this morning. And I also want to welcome those who are on the World Wide Web listening to our service there. Our thoughts this morning will be centered around the theme consecration, keeping our eye on the prize. Now someone says, well, what do you mean by consecration? By consecration, we simply mean setting aside, honoring something for a special purpose, calling, being called for a special purpose or a special use, being called for dedication. Someone once asked Paul Harbin, journalist and radio commentator, to reveal the secret of his success. And Harvey's response was brief, but poignant. He said, I get up when I fall down. I get up when I fall down. And as Christians, this is what we need to remember. When we fall down spiritually, we need to get up, taking hold of the hand of Christ and letting Him lift us out of the pit of sin. In 1992, the Summer Olympics featured two tremendously poignant moments. American sprintist Gail Devers, the clear leader in the 100-meter hurdles, tripped over the last barrier. She pulled herself to her knees, crawled the last 5 meters, finishing fifth, but finishing. And even more heart-rending was the 400-meter semifinal in which British runner Derek Redmond tore his hamstring and fell to the track. He struggled to his feet, began to hobble, determined to finish the race. His father ran from the stands to help him off the track, but the athlete refused to lean on his father, and the two limped to the finish line together to deafening applause. In Genesis chapter 22, we find the story of Abraham and Isaac. God comes to Abraham and says, Abraham, I want you to offer your son, your only son. Now, Abraham could have hesitated, he could have questioned, he could have debated, but no, he didn't do that. He immediately prepared to take his son and offer him as a sacrifice on Mount Moriah. I'm amazed at how Isaac, the young son, was also dedicated to his master, to God, just as Abraham was dedicated to God. For Isaac cooperated fully with Abraham. But as Abraham had raised his hand ready to slay the son, an angel of God spoke and said, Abraham, you have passed the test. I know that you are indeed a dedicated servant. And that's what we need to have God say to us. He needs to be able to say, brother so-and-so, sister so-and-so is indeed a dedicated servant, a consecrated servant. As we live life, we need to keep our eye on the treasure, our eye on the ultimate goal. And what is the ultimate goal of life? What is the ultimate treasure of life? Well, brother and sister, the ultimate goal and the ultimate treasure of life is simply keeping our eye on eternal life. We are promised eternal life if we will follow our Master Jesus. In fact, in Matthew chapter 13, verse 44, Christ is speaking to His listeners. And He says this about the kingdom of heaven. He says, again, the kingdom of heaven is likened to treasure hid in a field, of which when a man hath found, he hideth, and for joy thereof goeth and selleth all that he hath, and buyeth that field. Verse 45, again, the kingdom of heaven is likened to a merchantman seeking goodly pearls, who, when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. Brother and sister, the pearl of great price that you and I are seeking is eternal life. The treasure hid in the field is eternal life. And we need to keep our eye on the prize. We need to be consecrated to that task. We need to be dedicated to achieving the prize, eternal life. In life, we have choices. There are basically two roads in life. The road that leads to heaven, the road that leads to eternal death. And we need to ask ourselves daily, to whom am I yielding my life? Are we yielding ourselves to God and eternal life? Or are we yielding ourselves to Satan and eternal death? We need to be obedient to righteousness and to eternal life. This is how Paul states it in Romans chapter 6, verse 13. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. Know ye not, that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are, to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death, or of obedience unto righteousness? I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as ye have yielded your members servants to uncleanness and to iniquity, unto iniquity, even so now yield your members servants to righteousness and unto holiness. And so to the church in Rome, he says, I know you have been yielding yourselves to disobedience and unrighteousness, but I ask you to choose life. I ask you to choose righteousness and obedience, and keep your eye on the prize, the goal of eternal life. Make the proper choice. Repent and turn to Christ. Abraham Lincoln was consecrated to abolishing slavery. As Abraham Lincoln prepared to sign the Emancipation Proclamation, he took his pen, moved it to the signature line, paused for a moment, and then dropped the pen. When asked why he dropped the pen, he replied, "If my name goes into history, it will be for this act. And if my hand trembles when I sign it, there will be some who will say, 'He hesitated.'" Lincoln then turned to the table, took up the pen, and boldly signed his name to the Emancipation Proclamation. He was consecrated to the abolishing of slavery. Another great person was the musician, composer, Beethoven. I believe Beethoven was called to be a musical genius. But as he was growing older, Beethoven became deaf. And some of his friends said, "Beethoven, you're not going to be able to continue composing music, not going to be able to continue playing, because you're totally deaf." But Beethoven refused to listen to them. He was dedicated to his music. He was a musical genius, and he was going to develop that talent, that God-given talent. And when his friends discouraged him, this is what he said, and I'm quoting Beethoven. He said, "I will take life by the throat. I will take life by the throat." He was dedicated to his calling. And the question I have for you, brother and sister, this morning is, are you as dedicated to the calling that God has given you as Beethoven was to his? Will you take life by the throat and choose to be obedient and choose righteousness over eternal death? We know not what lies ahead. We may have to die for our faith as others have done before us. In John 16, verse 2, we read, "They shall put you out of the synagogue," or we could say the church today. "They shall put you out of the synagogue or the church. Yea, the time cometh that whosoever killeth you will think that he does God a service." Yes, there are some misinformed people, some people who are led by Satan, some people who are not seeking truth, who may decide that it's better to kill those who are following Christ than not to. And they may think that they are doing what God would have them do, because they are misguided. Their judgment has been distorted by Satan. So we may have to face death at some point. Men and women are at times asked to give their lives for a cause. There were two armies, one twice the size of the other. One army had 20,000 men, the other army had 10,000 men. The commander of the 20,000-man army decided that he was going to send an emissary to the commander of the 10,000-man army and ask for the surrender of the smaller army. So the emissary came to the commander of the smaller army and said, "My commander asks you to surrender because you know that you're going to lose this battle. We have twice the men that you have." The commander looked at the emissary and said, "I want to show you something." So he called three men out of the ranks, just three typical soldiers. Brought them in, and he said to the first soldier, "Fall on your sword." Immediately the man fell on his sword, killed himself. He looked at the second man and he said, "Thrust yourself through with this spear." The soldier immediately went to a nearby tree where he fixed the spear firmly. The butt end braced against the ground among the roots. He backed off, made a few steps, and then ran full speed into the spear, running it through his heart. And then he looked at the third soldier and he said, "Soldier, I want you to run and leap off of that precipice." The precipice was an extremely high precipice. And of course, anyone jumping over this would experience immediate death. Without hesitation, the man ran, leaped off the precipice. And finally, the commander turned to the foreign emissary and said, "I have 10,000 men who without hesitation will die for me like that. Tell your commander I demand his surrender." The emissary hurried back to his camp, begging the commander to quickly surrender. This is the kind of consecration and kind of dedication that we as Christians need to demonstrate for Christ. We need to walk without fainting, never considering giving up, but continue with determination and courage, keeping our eye on the prize. Let me ask you a question this morning. What are we ready to sacrifice for our Savior? Are we ready to sacrifice anything? In his letter to the Roman church, Paul in chapter 12, verse 1 writes, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service." So, Paul is saying one of the first sacrifices we need to make is to keep our bodies under control. Our bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit. And we need to give our bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God. Are we ready to sacrifice our bodies? In 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 5, in his letter to Corinth, he says, "And this they did, not as we hope, but first gave their own selves to the Lord." The first thing we need to do before we can be a successful Christian is to give our own selves to the Lord. Jesus said that if we seek first the kingdom of heaven, all of these other things will be added unto us. The godly are dedicated to Christ. Evil persons are dedicated to self and to Satan's hollow promises, and may I emphasize the hollow promises of Satan, the promises that will lead to eternal death. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 17, Paul writing again says, "This I say therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as the other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their hearts, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness to work all uncleanness and greediness." And then in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2, Paul continues in his letter to Timothy, "speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron." Yes, we know that this is a perfect description of the evil person. Vanity, ignorance, blindness, lasciviousness, uncleanness, greediness, hypocrisy. All of these things we as Christians must choose not to engage in. We must ask Christ to give us victory over these weaknesses in our lives. We all remember Winston Churchill, one of the greatest leaders of the 20th century. Some would say the greatest. But Churchill experienced severe adversity in his younger life. And during the Boer War, he was jailed in South Africa. He was rejected at the polls after World War I, but he was called of God and he was a servant to his people and to the world. He wrote after being elected prime minister in the midst of the 20th century, and I'm quoting Churchill here, "I was conscious of a profound sense of relief. At last I had the authority to give directions over the whole scene. I felt as if I were walking with destiny and that all my past life had been but a preparation for this hour and for this trial." Brother and sister, are you going through trials at this time? If so, are they a preparation for a greater service in life? I believe they are. There are men who seem to grasp the fact that they are walking with destiny. They are the Churchills, the Abraham Lincolns. What these men feel in the temporal is but a shadow of the eternal. All who are in Christ walk with destiny. You and I walk with destiny. The Lord has put you where you are to serve Him, to be His ambassador, to be His servant to others. Are you walking with your Master? Are you dedicated to the service of your Master? Are you keeping your eye on the prize of eternal life? There's a little poem called "Press On." Please allow me to share it with you. Press on. Nothing in the world can take the place of persistence. Talent will not. Nothing is more common than unsuccessful men with talent. Genius will not. Unrewarded genius is almost a proverb. Education will not. The world is full of educated derelicts. Persistence, determination, and consecration alone are important. Persistence, determination, and consecration alone are important. Consecration is absolutely essential to the successful Christian life. Are you consecrated to the task that your Master has given you in your home and in your community? If not, allow the Holy Spirit to come into your life. Allow the Holy Spirit to transform your heart of stone into a heart of flesh and your disobedience into obedience to our Master. Shall we pray? Our Father in heaven, we're thankful for the opportunity that we've had to study your word this morning. We're thankful for your presence, for the presence of the Holy Spirit. We're thankful that we can always call upon you in our lives of dedication, helping us to keep our eyes on the prize of eternal life. So be with us now as we move into the coming week. May we be true and faithful servants. We pray that you will lead us not into temptation, but that you will deliver us from evil and save us in your eternal kingdom. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.